Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Great. Well, as you know from Colin earlier, the whole theme for our summer Sundays is running the race. And we're going to look at different scriptures, different stories through the Bible to show us how do we run the race. And so we need to know, well, what is the race, first of all? Now, how many of you, before we get into that, how many of you are watching the Olympics? How many of you are just not interested in the Olympics? Yeah, right, okay, fine. So just shout out one or two things. What would be your favourite event in the Olympics to watch? What would it be? Swimming. How many of you like swimming? Swimming, brilliant. Anybody else? What was the other ones? Swimming, diving, running, gymnastics, high jump, triathlon, rugby, ice skating. How many of you are watching Olympic sports that you just don't do yourself? How many of you love to watch running because you think, I'd love to do that, but I can't? How many of you, high jump, I just couldn't do it? And how many of you, yeah, you live in this unreal world of, if only I could do that, yeah? How many of you are watching the Olympics just to think like that and, all right, great. Well, to be an Olympian, can you just get out of bed in the morning, eat whatever you want, live however you want, and expect to win? Okay, so to be an Olympian, what is the one goal that they have in the Olympics? To win what? Do they want to win a bronze medal?
No, they want to win
silver. What is it that they want to win? So they want to win a gold medal, right? Which is like, that means they become the best in the world. Is that right? And so, if somebody's going to be an Olympian and they want to win the gold medal, okay, what do you think they need to do in their life to be ready and prepared to be the best in the world at running or jumping or diving or swimming? What do you think they have to do?
Stay
healthy. That's right. Okay, anything else?
Eat meat.
All right. Eat meat. How many of you like a bit of meat on your... Okay, anything else?
Practice.
Okay, they have to practice. You can't remember, okay. Practice, anything else?
Discipline.
Train hard. Right amount of sleep. Perseverance.
Sacrifice.
Dedication. Sounds like the Christian life, doesn't it? Yeah, that got one of those laughs that was like, yeah, right. So to win the gold medal, these guys basically say, I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to be the best that I can be. And hopefully, if the best I can be wins the gold medal, then that's what I'm going for, okay? So we're going to be looking at, if we want to run the race that God has for us, okay, over the next 5 weeks, what does that look like in our lives? How do we discipline? How do we eat the right stuff? How do we get the right rhythms and all that in our lives? What is it that we need to do to run the race that God has for us? Now, what do you think the race is that God has for us? Any ideas?
To be a Christian.
To be a Christian, right? Okay. And what does that race look like? When the Bible says in several places, we're going to look at Hebrews 12, the first couple of verses in a minute. But when the Bible talks about run the race that is set before you and with perseverance and everything else, what is that race? Does anybody know? Okay, what is that? Does that work? Okay, it's not the brightest one, but it's what we could, what we found, okay? Now, what does Jesus say? Who is Jesus? He is the
light
of the
world.
Okay, that was the song that we sang at the beginning, right? Yeah. But then he also says, because he's put his Holy Spirit in us, he says, now you are the
light
of the
world.
Right. So the race that we're running, okay, is to be in relationship with Jesus and to be a
light
to the
world.
And who is the world? The world, all the people around our lives that don't yet know Jesus, right?
The world is us.
And so we are part of the world, yeah? So he wants us to shine our light. So the race that we're running is to do all the things that Jesus wants us to do in our lives so that our lives shine the light of who he is to all those around us. And that light also affects the people that we know that know Jesus and also those that don't yet know Jesus, okay? So I need a volunteer, but I'm going to need someone who is slightly taller than you guys, okay? But not an adult yet. So over in that direction, there's quite a few young people, okay? Does any of the young people want to volunteer one of their mates to come up here to be part of what we're doing this morning? Because I know you're not going to volunteer yourself. So who wants to come up here? Brilliant, thank you. All right. Do you want to come up here? Hopefully this is going to work because now, when you don't know Jesus, okay, there is just you. And you are vulnerable to everything going on in the world, okay? Everybody's, there's lots of insecurity out there in the world. There's lots of selfishness and greed. There are some people who want to do good and really want to help people, okay? So, but a lot of things in life, we are like we are vulnerable to all the lies of the devil, all the ways in which he wants to ruin people's lives and get them into addictions or whatever it might be, okay? And when you don't know God, you have no defense mechanisms whatsoever, okay? Now, the good news is that one day, what's your name?
Kirk.
Yeah. All right, cool. Captain Kirk from...
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Okay. So we have Kirk here from another world, okay? And somebody tells him about Jesus and he wants to give his life to Jesus. Now, what happens when you give your life to Jesus? Okay, who is this?
Captain Underpants.
You should never do this with kids, eh? It's not Captain Underpants, okay? It's brilliant, isn't it? I love this. It's going to be a long morning. Okay, who is this? Captain or Mr. Incredible. Okay, so, Kirk, what I want you to do, I want you to put this outfit on, all right? You might have to take your shoes off for this. Is that all right? And you kind of have to slip in there somehow. So, what Kirk is doing right now, this is him giving his life to Jesus, okay? So what he's doing, he's asking him to forgive him for all the things he's done wrong. And now he's surrendering his life to Jesus. And he's saying, Jesus, I want you to come to live in me.
It's a bit big.
It might be a tad big, but that's okay, because Jesus is a lot bigger than we are, right?
Yes.
That's looking all right, mate. Looking all right. Looking all right. Cool. Not too shabby, eh? Not too bad. That'll do. Brilliant. So now Kirk, this is it. So Kirk is no longer on his own, vulnerable to everything going on in the world. He's now living in Christ, okay? So this, I know it's Mr. Incredible suit, but this is Jesus this morning. Is that all right? Now there's a verse in the Bible that says that when we give our lives to him, we are now hidden with Christ in God, okay? So he is no longer vulnerable to the enemy because now he is clothed with Christ. He has Christ all around him, okay? Now, when we give our lives to Jesus, God then wants to speak to us about how he wants us to live. But when we give our life to him, he gives us everything we need. The moment we give our lives to Jesus and we come into Christ, he gives us everything we need at that moment to then live the life that he wants us to live. And the funny thing is, it then takes the rest of our lives to learn how to live more and more who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Now, how many of you know, along the way, stuff can happen in life? So when you give you're forgiven here, you're set free, you're now a child of God, you're completely washed in the blood of Jesus. Okay, so we can have confidence to approach God, to worship him, to know him, right? That's the amazing thing about Jesus' love for us, yeah? But also, when we live, we're still faced with choices every day. And sometimes we can make choices that don't help us live in Christ or walk in the way that God wants us to. Sometimes stuff happens at us and we don't know what to do with it necessarily. And if we don't walk with Jesus and surrender things to him, when stuff happens in life, things begin to affect us in the way that we run and the way that we walk, okay? Now, Kirk, I want you to, hopefully the batteries are going to last. So that's your light. Just shine it, everybody, because people like to be blinded in here. So Kirk is shining his light. He's just given his life to Jesus. He's excited. He's telling everybody who Jesus is and what he's done. How many of you were like that when you first gave your life to Jesus? You told everybody. Is it still like that today? Anyway, right, let's move on. So he's shining his light. He's excited. Now, things happen in life. Thanks, Megs, for bringing those up. Got a few other props here. And then we have the big one. That's heavy, that. If you want to get fit and healthy and do some weightlifting, come and... That's enough. Right. Okay. Right. Now, Kirk's living his life, and some things happen, and fear wants to take a hold of him. Okay? So, when fear wants to take a hold of us, and we don't surrender that to Jesus. Shall I put two or three in?
Three.
Two. That's nasty. Three's nasty. It's full of grace. Full of grace. All right. Okay. So put your arms through there. No, not that way. You're going to wear it on the front. No, not that way. That's it. And the other way. Okay. So he's kind of walking with Jesus, learning along the way, but some stuff happens and fear begins to, a bit of fear of man or fear of getting things wrong or fear of what other people might think of him, and situations coming up, doesn't know what to do or how to handle some of those things. And again, instead of really submitting him to the Lord and trusting the Lord, fear begins to get hold of his thinking and affects his emotions, and he begins to sort of carry some stuff, okay? Now, as he's continuing to live his life, I'm not going to ask you, Rachel, because you'll say too many. Then some of his friendships and relationships get a little bit tricky, gets a bit offended, a bit upset, gets a bit annoyed with people and falls out of friendship and relationship with some people. And let's chuck another one in. No, let's not. So he begins to carry that around, a bit of unforgiveness, a bit of offence, and he starts to get bitter about some stuff, doesn't really deal with it. Hopefully that's going to stay on. Are you doing all right there, mate?
Yeah.
Just pray that your back holds up. And thank you, Jesus. Is that getting heavy?
No.
No? Cool. All right, it will do in a minute. Trust me. And so just walk about a bit. And so he can still walk with God. He can still walk in his purposes, but he started to carry some things, starting to get a little bit heavy, okay? Now, as he continues on in his life and his walk with Jesus. Rachel, this is for you. These are the all right. Yeah, that'll do. So he gets a diagnosis of sickness. And, you know, he's... Thanks. Timing was brilliant with that. I love that.
Brilliant.
And again, because there's a bit of fear, he's afraid of what that might mean and all of that. And because he's got a bit upset and offended with people, it started to affect his health a bit. And there's stuff going on in his life now. And so I want you to pick that up if you can.
Yeah, if you can.
Is it heavy?
Heavy enough.
Heavy enough. Good.
Okay.
It's quite heavy, isn't it?
That suitcase.
All right. So now try and walk round. Okay. It's a bit more. He's still got his light. He's still shining his light. Is that right?
Yeah.
But it's becoming a bit like he's starting to carry some stuff around, and it's getting a bit. Okay. Now he carries on. Okay. And just stuff carries on in his life. He's not really surrendering to the Lord. He still goes to church on Sunday, still lifts his hands in the air, because we're good at that, aren't we? But there's stuff going on in him, and some people don't know what's going on in him, but he still goes on Sunday, right? But he's walking with the Lord in some ways, but then some other stuff happens. So pick both cases up. Now, don't hurt yourself, but... Now, try and walk round with that lot. Okay. Brilliant. Put them down just so that your parents don't sue me or anything. Okay. But what did he have to do in order to pick the cases up?
You know, you could have just put it in your bag and...
Well, you want to stick it under your arm? He's thinking about it. Okay. He's trying. Look at that. So, now, let's just have a read. What does it say? Let's have the first part of the scripture up. It says here, therefore, since we are... Now, why does it say therefore? Because something came before it, right? So, this is Hebrews 12. In Hebrews chapter 11, it lists loads of people in the Bible that have gone before us, some of them we know, really well known, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Joseph, a whole bunch of others that have gone before us that we know. But it also talks about many others who believe that have gone before us, who have lived their lives and they faced all kinds of challenges, trials, temptations, opposition and all of that. But it says that they held on to God. And they might not have fully seen everything in their life that but they knew there was something more than just how they were living now. And they're all with God now. And it talks about a cloud of witnesses that are basically cheering us on, okay? I don't know whether they're literally looking over the balcony of heaven or whether the writer here is basically saying, look, there's loads of people that have gone before us. And it's like they are, you know, they're an example for us to champion us to live in the same way now. You're doing all right there, mate?
Yes, that hurt my neck.
Is it hurting your neck? All right. Right, we'll get on. Come over here with me. I'll just help you a little bit. Right, so this is not hurting. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that heavy?
No.
All right, let's hold that. So it says here, these guys are... So in light of that, it then says, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses... Can you actually go to the fourth slide? Is that okay? Yeah. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, some of the things that have gone on in Kirk's life are decisions that he has made. Okay? Now, there might not be like sin in that sense, but he's just not been that focused. He's had other priorities. You could call that sin if you want, okay? But some of these things is just stuff that entangles us, the focus and what you put your time to, your money to, your skills and talents to. There's one particular thing that is a massive distraction in the days that we're in. How many of you got phones? Just hold it up in the air. That's probably one of the biggest distractions, okay, that there are. There's good things about phones, but also people can get addicted to those things, right? And what you focus on is what you magnify. What you focus on is what grows on the inside of you and everything. And so what the writer is saying here is, look, you have a race to run. You have a light to shine. You have other people to tell that don't know Jesus. But we can, and it says, so to run this race, throw off everything that hinders, okay? And so just stand in the middle there. So pick up the cases for a sec. And so what Kirk wants to do, he wants to let go of the unforgiveness. And he says, I forgive that person. I'm not going to be bitter, and I'm going to give my heart to Jesus in a fresh way and say sorry to him for being offended and upset and all of that. So drop that case. Whoa, yeah, there's a weight that gets lifted off. Now he's bringing the sickness to the Lord, the fear and the sickness there. And so, God, I give you the fear right now. I'm afraid of this sickness, but I thank you that you're my healer. And I thank you that because of your love, you've already healed me on the cross. So I want to take hold of your healing. And I thank you I don't have to live in fear any longer, but I can take hold of your healing with me. So just put that one down. And so the load is lightening now, because he's like, no, I want to focus on what Jesus called me to do and to live and to tell others about him. And so there's other things, anxiety and maybe for some, okay, because the enemy's subtle, isn't he, in the way he does things. You know, sometimes in life, as you get older, your life can get better in different ways materially. Your job improves, or you get pay rises, or, you know, you get inheritances, because as you get older, there might be others that are, you know, you pass away and they leave you more money and all these kind of things. And without realizing, sometimes those things can begin to take a hold of us, and we begin to think a bit more, well, I could buy a nicer this or a better that, or do this or that or the other. And without realizing it, sometimes things or money or career or whatever can become more focus in our lives than actually who Jesus is. And then we start holding back in different ways. And those things will affect our walk with God and our witness and everything else, because we're spending time more focused on some of those things than we are actually on how does God want to use what he's bringing into my life to be a blessing to others. Are you there? That's quite an easy trap for a lot of us to fall into, because generally the older you get, the more comfortable your life tends to become, as a general, are you there with that? And so when he's submitting everything to the Lord, his finances, his money, his possessions and everything else, and you can let go of that one, and all of that, that stuff is supposed to fall to the ground, along with everything else, okay, that he's throwing off. And as he's surrendering his life to the Lord, he's then free to run in the way that God wants him to. So let's go to the next verse, next one. So let us run with perseverance. Somebody shouted out perseverance earlier. So some of the meanings for perseverance are this, okay? Is to, perseverance is to endure, to be determined, to have stamina, to keep going, and to have some grit and some guts. This is what perseverance means. And I love this one, to have immovable resolve. Wow, I love that. Say immovable resolve. So when God comes into our lives and we live in Christ, God wants this immovable resolve on the inside of us, so that when the stuff of life comes at us and the enemy's trying to knock us over, grab a hold of us, push us over, make us pick things up again, we have this immovable resolve on the inside, which is Jesus. Right, and our love and heart for him. And we say, no, I'm not going to pick these things up. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to become fearful. I'm not going to whatever in my life. And because I'm not going to take hold of those things, because I've got something more important to do than it is to get caught up in things that I let go of when I gave my life to Jesus and came into him and he came into me. And then it says this. What's the next one? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. How do you not pick up this stuff in the first place? If we continue to focus on him and what he's doing in our lives. See, what you fix your eyes on cultivates desire for. That's why worship's so, so important, because when we worship, worship is about who He is. And when you worship Him, the focus is on Him and not yourself. And sometimes we fight ourselves and try and deal with the negative before taking hold of the positive. And we're all aware of some of the challenges we have in our lives. But instead of trying to fight those things, what we want to do is, firstly, we exalt Jesus. And exalting Him, we then say, Jesus, I choose to exalt You, but in exalting You, I need to let go of this. I need to forgive that. I need to hand over this. I need to surrender that, so that I can live in Christ free to be the light that He's called me to be without the baggage that is there. And then it says, so fixing our eyes on Jesus. Why is that important? Because it says here, the pioneer or the author, because when we focus on Him, we hear His voice. And when we hear His voice, He releases faith in us. And faith brings confidence. When you're carrying all this stuff, it's hard to be confident as a believer and as a person, because you're aware of all this other stuff that's holding you down. Whereas when you're free from that and you have a clear conscience, there's a confidence, a boldness to go, yeah, thank You, Jesus, You love me. Thank You that You know me. Thank You, You want the best for me. But it's interesting, in all these scriptures, let's go to the next one. Actually, they might. Yeah, that'll do. Notice in all these scriptures, it says, let us, let us. It doesn't just say you, you, you. It says, let us. And so we live this life together, not just as individuals. So when we come into Christ, yes, we've come into a personal relationship with Him. But also what this means is we come into Christ together, because Christ is the head and we are the body. And we are this body together. And so God doesn't want us to walk this life alone. He enables us to walk this life together so that, as we heard earlier in the year, we can shoulder to shoulder with each other, helping one another to be who God has called us to be. And then it says here, for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. And the next one. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Next bit. Consider Him who endured such opposition. So everything that we would face, He's been tempted in the same way. All the challenges that we face, He's faced and were thrown at Him by the enemy. Okay, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So it's a day-by-day walk. It's a moment-by-moment walk. And what's important is, as the moments come up in any given moment in our day, the most important thing when moments come up, challenges come up, negative comes up, somebody has a go at you, it's not going good at work, or you get a bill through the door you weren't aware of, or stuff is challenging, the first thing to do is, in that moment, is to stop and go, right, in this moment, before fear gets me, anxiety grips me, or offense takes over because I really didn't like that and they should know better and everything else, or this diagnosis I've just been given, before that really gets hold of me, I'm going to stop in this moment and say, right, Jesus, I need You right now in this moment. I choose to clothe myself with You in this moment, because You are my peace, or You are my healing, or You are my right thinking, or You are love in me. Because love means trust, I'm going to choose to trust You here. Even though fear feels like it's trying to grip me, I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to take hold of You right now and grip You in Your love. And I thank You that You overwhelm me in this moment. This is the Christian life, isn't it? This is the Christian life. This is the nuts and bolts of living this thing out. So let's all stand together. Let's give Kirk a massive, massive round of applause. Just shine your light on everybody. Okay, in the next few minutes, we're going to do some throwing off, okay? Some of you are going to get healed. Some of you are going to notice heaviness lifts off. Some of you know there's a bit of a vice grip on some of your thinking for whatever reason, and that vice grip's going to break in the next few moments. How many of you believe this stuff, right? Some of you need to forgive some others. And in forgiving some others, there'll be a release of peace in your life. For some, as you forgive and let go of some hurt and offense, you're going to get healed. You're going to receive from him. I don't know, whatever it is. There might be a need that you have at this moment. And that's become a weight. And we don't just pretend these things aren't there and say, well, everything will be all right. I won't worry about it. We have to face that because there are facts in front of us. But what we do is we surrender the facts to who he is as the truth. And we say, Jesus, I thank you in the middle of this moment, you are my provision or whatever it might be. Okay, so let's just take a moment. You know what is relevant for you right now. You know any of the baggage that you're carrying, the weights that you're walking around with, however that's affecting you. And I want you to talk to the Lord right now. Don't just think with your mind, okay? With your mouth, you confess. So if you confess with your mouth and you ask him to forgive you, in that moment, you're forgiven. So it's good to speak things out. I'm not asking you to shout them out so everybody hears, but you need to put words to what's going on. So whatever it is for you right now that you're carrying, and it could be several things, could be one thing, whatever it is, just talk to him right now. Say, Jesus, and if you need to ask him to forgive you, like, because fear is basically lack of trust. But the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. But love is connected with trust. When you know somebody loves you, you can trust them. No matter what's going on. And so if there's fear there, firstly, just bring that to the Lord and say, Father, I ask you to forgive me that I've not trusted you. Instead, I've let fear grip my thinking or my emotions or whatever it is. And I ask you to forgive me for not trusting you. And so I let go of this fear. I drop it right now. And I thank you that I take hold of you. I take hold of your love afresh. I thank you for your peace that replaces that fear. If there's a sickness there, Jesus, I surrender my body afresh to you. I thank you that you are my healing and my health. I thank you that you are greater than the symptoms. And there could be fear connected with this or anxiety or worry, whatever it might be. Again, just give all that to the Lord. Jesus, I give you all of that. I let go of that. It's not going to dictate what's going on in my life. You are the one who's the author and the perfecter of faith. And that faith isn't just being in faith. It's the life of faith that we have. He's the one that authors and perfects and enables us to live in as a believer in a place of faith. And so, Father, I thank you for your healing grace being released in this room right now, touching different people in the room. You might have a need, practical, physical, I don't know, just whatever it is, surrender it to the Lord. If you need to ask him to forgive, just repent of that. And now what I want you to do is literally just lift your hands as if you're taking hold of being clothed in Christ in a fresh way this morning. You're taking hold of your Mr. Incredible outfit in a fresh way. Romans, I think it's 13:14, talks about clothe yourself with Christ in God. Clothe yourself. There's an action that we do. So, and I'm clothing myself afresh in Christ right now. And that looks like health and healing. It looks like peace. It looks like wisdom. It looks like love, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. You're touching people. Where there's been a vice grip on some people's thinking, on their mindset, I just break that right now. Lies of the enemy that have been taunting people and trying to grip people, we break the lies right now in Jesus' name. Right now, we break those lies off. You are worthy. You are a child of his. It's not about performance. It's about your position. And when you know your position, you know you're accepted and loved. And when you know you're accepted and loved, you're not trying to make yourself acceptable to God, because we can't do that. He's done that in us to make us acceptable. So we simply say, Jesus, I thank you that you made me acceptable. And you're free because of him in you to worship and say, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to try to be who you want me to be. You've given me your Holy Spirit that enables me to be who you've called me to be. So we thank you, Jesus. We praise your awesome name. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. There might be some people here today and you don't know Jesus. You don't know him. And you're like, Kirk was right at the beginning. He's just totally vulnerable to everything in the world going on. And maybe you've heard some things this morning about who God is, His love for us, what He's done for us. Maybe your life, you feel like, I'm carrying stuff and I don't want to carry all this stuff. And when you give your life to Jesus, you surrender everything to Him, what you do is you bring all your stuff. You bring yourself to Him, but you're bringing the stuff. And it could be unforgiveness, hurt, pain, regrets. And to surrender your life to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I'm bringing my life to you. I give you my life. And I give you every regret, every hurt, every pain, every shame, every guilt. And I give it to you and I ask you to take it from me. And that's the amazing thing, that Jesus takes all these weights and heaviness and burdens, and He takes all the stuff off us. And then we step into Him like this suit. We step into Him, and as we step into Him, there's forgiveness. Amen. It's like a clean slate. There's like peace that comes upon you. There's acceptance. You're made worthy before Him. You become a child of His. And there's some of you here today that don't know Jesus. And I want you to be bold today in terms of your response to Him. Say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. If that's you today, everybody's just got their eyes closed. I want you to raise your hand if you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Or you know you've not been walking with Him and you want to come back to Him fully. Can you just raise your hand so I can see where you are today? I just want to pray for you. Somebody, thank you. Anybody else? Thanks, guys. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Just wherever you are right now, if you're coming back to the Lord, say, Jesus, I just surrender afresh to you. Thank you, forgive me for whatever I've done, walking away or wherever I've been. I thank you for your cleansing forgiveness now. And I just surrender afresh. And I thank you for your Lordship coming back into my life. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, at this moment, just say, Jesus, I bring my life to you. All the good, the bad and the ugly, everything. I surrender to you. Forgive me for every sin and every weight that's holding me down. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my life. Jesus, I give you my life, but I ask you to give me yours, like that outfit that Kirk is wearing. I want to step into you. I want to come into you today. I don't fully understand all that means, but I know I need to give my life to you. I thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray right now for anybody coming back to you and those giving their lives to you as they take this first step today, that you come into them in a life-transforming way. And this would be the beginning of a whole new life with you. We thank you, Jesus. If you respond in any way like that this morning, please, could you just come after the meeting's finished, come to the front. There'll be a few of us here. We'd love to talk with you, chat with you, and just help you take some next steps in your life, okay? So it's really, really important that you do that. Come and have a chat with us, and we'd love to, Colin, myself, and we'd love to help you out, okay, in your next step.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.